Man, I have got a lot to say this morning, so I hope you're ready. I hope you have your pen out, your paper out, ready to take some notes, because we're going to go through a lot of stuff this morning. If you would, turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, Genesis 1, 26, and stand for the honor of reading God's word. And Moses writes, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.' And God said, 'Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food.' And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. There was evening, there was morning, the sixth day." Let's pray. Lord, we come to you recognizing that you are the creator, sustainer of all that is, was, and ever will be. So God, help us to tune into what you say. Help us to follow you. Help us to serve you. Help us to be the people that say, I will follow you wherever you send me. Help me to preach plain and clear, Lord. I do realize that there is a strict judgment on my life in rightly dividing your word of truth. I do accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. That you may be seated. You will be reading this week. So as you hear it, make notes, jot this down. It is interesting to note how God creates. God creates just by the power of his word. And when God creates, he creates in kinds. And so if you have your Bible open, if you have chapter 1, verse 11, we see here it says, "And God said, 'Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its what? On the earth, each according to its kind.' And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plant yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its own kind, and God said it was good." When God creates, he creates in kinds. And so we have apple seeds. If you plant an apple seed, what will you get? Apples. How often? Every time. You're not going to get a banana from an apple seed. Now, you'll have variations of apple seeds, but there's a kind. There's, you know, Red Delicious, Granny Smith. There's all kinds of apples, right? But there's a kind, there is a seed. Okay? He does that to the animal kingdom as well. Verse 20, "And God said, 'Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens.' So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their, and every winged bird according to its. And God saw it was good." Everything that was created by our Creator specifically on purpose, and it was not some random chance, and it wasn't some evolutionary advancement. It was a specific kind that God created. He created dogs, and it's its own kind. Created cats. They're their own kind. Now, there's all kinds of different variations of cats, but a cat and a dog does not make a cog. It's its own kind. God creates specifically in the seed. Whatever is in that seed is what kind it is. You with me? And so when God creates, he creates specifically for a purpose, and he creates each according to its kind. And God said in 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Now, this is unique. This is different. We know the story in Genesis 1. It's kind of the big picture. In Genesis 2, it gets us, it kind of focuses in on the creation of Adam and him naming the animals, right? And we know he names the animals, and he sees a he-elephant and a she-elephant. And he says a he-bear and a she-bear. And he goes, and he's naming all these animals, and there's no suitable helper for him. And so then he takes out of man and makes woman. Genesis 1 tells us, the big picture creation, that he creates man. And when it says man, it means mankind. We say mankind. Right? Why? Because humans are a special kind. We're unique. And we're not unique because we are the last step on that evolutionary process, or where some would believe, I guess we're still evolving and going to turn into something else. But we're not unique because of that. We're unique because humanity was created by God when he made us in his likeness. The Imago Dei is what the Latin phrase, a theologian said, that humanity, men and women, they have value and they are valuable not because they're smart, not because of their intellect, not because of their rational thinking, not because of their compassionate being, not because of who they are, but who created them and how we have been made in the likeness and in the image of God. So when God created mankind, I don't have time. There's so much stuff that I would like to break down. I could spend a whole 6 weeks just in Genesis 1 and 2. But when God creates mankind, he then creates a garden. And when you read this week, you will notice that God then puts Adam in the garden. He puts Adam in the garden. He prepares the place, and then he has this creation, and everything that's created was created to the point to when then the final apex of his creation, he creates man. He creates this world, all this vegetation, all of these animals, everything that we have here. And note this, everything that God has that created in the 6 days, what did he do on the seventh? He rested. God doesn't create anymore. He sustains. Everything that God created at the very beginning was given in seed form. And then he gave that rule to humanity to steward it. He gave mankind the charge to rule over and to govern his creation. You can make an argument, and I believe it's true, that the Garden of Eden is a type or a picture of a sanctuary. And then when he put man in the garden, man was to be the gardener of God's Eden, of his paradise. We are to be the royal priesthood serving and worshiping God. The seed. Everything that he created was there, right? God's not saying let there be trees anymore. He's not saying let there be fish anymore. He did that. And then he gave the charge to be fruitful and multiply. How? Through the seed. You with me? And so he gives mankind this charge to rule over his creation. Right? Let's go back to verse 28. Jeff, I might have to bump you back up. You might have to find it there. Because I want to just remind, and God blessed them, and God said to them, what? Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, and what? Subdue it. That's to rule over it, to steward it, have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over everything that moves on the earth. Okay, he gave God in his sovereignty. He is over all and can intervene at any moment. But he said, I've crowned man with the charge to steward what I have entrusted him with. Now, there's a whole other ethic that we could go on to about how we care for creation and all of that. I'm not going to go into all of that. But we are to be stewards of God's creation because he placed us as those who are to be the subduer, the ruler of that. Now, when we say that God created all that there is, that means that there is a creator and there is the created. We are the created. And when he placed man in the garden, he placed man in the garden so that we might live out his royal rule as kings and priests, as sons and daughters in his presence. The Bible tells us that Adam and Eve walked in the coolness of day. When they sinned, it was God who walked and sought them out. They were in the very presence of God. God's original design was that he would create his family. He would create a people who would love him, follow him, worship him, and steward this creation that he created for them on his behalf, in his presence, for his glory, so that they could honor their creator. That was the original design. We were to rule and reign as God's sons and daughters of this great planet that he has given us and all of the vegetation he's given us for the glory of him, in connection with him, in his presence, so that we could be with him. You getting the picture? The creator God, we get an image. We believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's God the Father by the power of his word that created all things, right? God said, let there be. And then the word created what was. And John chapter 1 tells us, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, the word himself being Jesus. The New Testament then identifies the creator as being Genesis. Colossians 1, verse 16. For by him, this is talking about Jesus, for by Jesus, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Do you see that? Everything that was created in Genesis, all things, even the atoms, the electrons, the neutron, everything that makes life happen was created by Jesus and for Jesus. You were created for the glory of Christ. You were created by God and for God, that you would live for God and glorify him. Does that make sense? So when he created and given us this authority. And then because God just didn't create robots, he gave man choice, the ability to choose. He puts two trees in the garden, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he tells them, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that you eat of it, you will surely what? Die. And one command. And what do? They rebel. They eat of the tree that they were told not to eat of. They couldn't remain loyal to their king. They couldn't respect or follow the commandment of their creator. Satan, He deceives Eve with clever words. Oh, God really say that? I didn't really say that. He just doesn't want you. He begins to make man doubt that God is a benevolent, trustworthy, and gracious king. Well, you can be your own God. You can make your own decisions. You can choose for yourself what you think is right or wrong. And they rebelled against the high court of heaven, and sin entered the world. Ecclesiastes 7:29 says, "See this I found alone, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes." Isn't that true? It was Augustine who said that Adam and Eve was created in such a way that they were able not to sin. They didn't have to sin, but they chose to sin. And now, after Adam and Eve sin, we know that Adam has a Seth in his own likeness. We're all descendants of Adam. Now we are not able not to sin. We rebel. We have this rebellious spirit because of our first parents. What happened on that day when the curse fell upon mankind? God brought judgment on them, and they were banished east of Eden. They were banished from Eden. What were they banished from? The presence of walking with God. On that day, though death would come, they died spiritually. There was a spiritual death that happened. There was a blessing that was lost. There was a rulership and dominion that got taken by the enemy. There was a darkness that they were transferred into, and they were blinded by the deceit of Satan. Paul says this about when the gospel goes out in 2 Corinthians 4:4. "And in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." You know what happened when they were banished from Eden? They were blinded. Mankind was blinded. And now we are trying to steward God's creation in the dark. How many of y'all realize seeds don't grow very well in the dark? We need the light, don't we? We need the light of the gospel. We need the light of glory. In Hebrews, it says this: "For it was not angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It was been testified somewhere." He quotes a psalm. "What is man?" This is talking about mankind. This is talking about humans. "What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels and have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subject to him." And we would say, yeah. Why do we see such a devastated world? Why do we see sickness, disease? Why do we see crime? Why do we see hatred? Why do we see anger? Why do we see all of the things in life that we say, we don't like this stuff? It's because of sin. It's because we're walking in darkness and we're trying to steward and rule blindly. Mankind is without Christ. So I think God gets blamed for a lot of things that he's not responsible for. What about you? I can't believe God would let this. I can't believe God. He put mankind in charge of the earth. Cancer. A lot of people getting cancer. God doesn't give people cancer. Cancer is a result from things that just is a result of mankind's fallen nature. Some of us just have genetic hereditary things that go wrong. Our genes are even infected by sin, right? I mean, some people just have a genetic thing to do with their heart. I mean, they could be. You've read the stories of people. It's been they're running. They're in great shape. They run all the time. They eat the right food. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't run and eat the right food. But they can die of a heart attack. So our genes are even affected by sin. So sometimes we just have hereditary things. Sometimes it's the stuff that we put on all of our food. My gosh, what are we eating? It's those chicken nuggets. I mean, think about it. You can take a chicken nugget, lay it on the counter, and come back 20 years, and it looks the same. There's something wrong with that. I'm telling you. You say, well, I'm going to eat healthy, and I'm going to start eating just all the fruit and vegetables. Well, what in the world are they spraying on those fruits and vegetables? They have apple slices that are sliced open that look like you just cut them. Now, anybody that's ever cut a real apple, how long does it take for that thing to brown? Yeah, about, you know, before you, I mean, if you don't eat it fast, it's going to brown on you. Car wrecks. Why would God let somebody get killed in a car wreck? Well, that's not God doing that. God's not making people text and drive. God's not making people drink and drive. God's not making people look down and all of a sudden they don't see the stoplight. God's not the one telling people, don't change your tires, keep driving on them until they're bald, and then when it's rain out, you slide off the road. That's man. We've messed this place up. He gave it to us to steward over, and we went out there, and we've made a muck of it. Governments. Why are governments so corrupt? Because they're run by men whose hearts are corrupt and evil. You with me? Why is there so we have this world that we live in where we're trying to live out in blindness, and we're trying to rule and steward his creation in ways that leads to death, because Satan blinds. Blinding is darkness. Darkness is death. And when we sinned against God, the Bible says that we became a slave to sin. So sin enslaved us, and death is always chasing us. So we have the reality of sin, and the fear of death always haunts us. We don't want to die. And so we have sin and death. It's always chasing us. Something's got to be done, right? Something's got to be done about sin and death. Well, Jesus comes. Now, there's something different about Jesus. When Jesus comes, he's just not made in the likeness of God. Colossians 1:15, he is the what? Image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Jesus, in fact, he is the exact physical representation of the Godhead in bodily form. He is the exact image of God because he is God, who came as man. So now we have Jesus coming. The Bible refers to him as the last Adam. He is the image. He lived a life of what it means to be fully consecrated and sold out to God. Jesus walked on earth and ruled as Adam should have. following the voice of God all the time. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by Satan 3 times. He didn't listen, right? He said, the devil, you can get. I'm going to follow my Father. You see, Jesus had all power. They were amazed that even the winds obeyed him. Well, how could the winds obey him? Because God had given man authority on the earth. You know, at one time they needed some money. They needed to pay some taxes. And God said, hey, Peter, go down there and catch that fish. And when you catch that fish, you're going to find a coin in its mouth. Now, how did he do that? He's God. He was living out his fullness. He walked on water. He said, peace, be still, and it was still. So Jesus came and he lived a life that was fully in authority of what God had created. And we revisit Hebrews 2, verse 5, because he came to redeem those who were under the curse, right? Let me read this real quickly again so we can get context. Let's just jump down to verse 9. No, let's go to verse 8. Putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, this is to man. He left nothing outside of his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, right? We've been there. But we see who? This is the big him, that capital H here. But we see him, this is Jesus. We don't see man ruling and reigning and having everything in subjection to him, but we see him. But we do see Jesus, him for who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, Jesus, in bringing many sons to glory, what was God doing in Genesis 1? Creating a people for himself, sons and daughters to rule and reign and govern his creation for him. So Jesus comes to redeem us from the curse, to put us back in our right place, to bring many sons to glory, sons and daughters to glory. You with me? Should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. That's his cross. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified, that's us, have all one source, that's God. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers in the midst of the congregation. I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children God has given me. Jesus, on the day when he returns, he will present us before the Father and say, these are the ones you've given me. And again, verse 14, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, talking about man, we share in flesh and blood. He himself, Jesus, likewise, partook of the same thing. The incarnation. That through death, he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. So the good news is this. Jesus came and he freed us from our slavery. He conquered death and he opened our eyes and transferred us into the kingdom of light rather than darkness. And he calls us sons and daughters and he puts us in his family. Now, as sons and daughters of God, we are to now have dominion. Yes, we still are supposed to have dominion over the earth, but there's another dominion now that we have been transferred into, and that is the kingdom of God. And the dominion that we must first rule over, that we must allow Christ to have first place over, because we all worried about our politicians. Well, if our politicians did this, Or we're worried about some, or our boss. Oh, if my boss did this, and oh, if somebody did this. How many of y'all point your finger at all the problems and say, well, if everybody would just do this, then things would be better? Anybody ever have a pointing problem? I think we all do. How many of you all ever do this? Let's start right here. Let's don't worry about what everybody else is doing and how they're doing it wrong and how they're messing everything up. Because it's a full-time job to keep myself from messing me up. Amen. So I need to allow God to rule and reign and have dominion over my mind, over my heart, over my will, over my person. Let's start there. Let's start nurturing the seed of salvation that God has planted in us and let it flourish. Paul says it like this, Colossians 3:10, and we have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. We are to be constantly renewed. Now, in order for this plant, this seed to grow, what do you got to do? You got to first plant it. It's got to have soil. And then you got to do what? You got to water it. What else does it have to have? Sunlight. If you neglect it, what happens to this thing? It dies. Our walk with God. God has saved us. He's brought us into the kingdom of God. He's brought us into a heavenly dominion. That's why Paul says, now fix your eyes on things above, not on things of the earth. I gotta nurture my heart. What you watch, what you hear, the people you hang around with, it matters. The more you read your word, the more you hear God's voice. The more you look at Facebook, the more depressed you get. The more you read the news, the more worried you get. This year in 2023, you know what I've decided? I gotta focus on me. Not meaning that I neglect anybody else. But before I start tearing weeds out of other people's lives, and before I start trying to solve all the world's problems, if everybody would just listen to me, everything would be fine. I need to get all the weeds out of my life. I need to get all the thoughts out of my... I need to make sure my mind's conformed, that my heart's transformed, that my hands are ready to serve. If nobody else is going to serve God in 2023, I will. If nobody else is going to read God's word, I've got to be the husband I've been called to be. I can't worry about if this guy's not doing his job at home or if this guy's being late. I've got to make sure I'm the husband that God has called me to be. And if nobody else wants to be a godly husband, it doesn't matter if everybody said, I'm not listening to what God says about being a husband. I will. Same way with you wives. I'm going to be the godly wife. Parent, I'm going to be the parent that God has called me to be. And I'm going to parent my kids, and I'm going to raise my kids to become adults and know the Lord. I'm going to be the worker that God has called me to be. When I go to work, I'm going to go there as a missionary, and I'm going to live my life for the glory of God. It doesn't matter what they say in the lunchroom or what everybody else is doing on break and what everybody else doesn't do at work. When nobody else does their job, when nobody else does this, well, everybody else comes in late. I'm not. I'll be there on time. I might even show up early. nobody else is going to live for the glory of God, I will. Why? Because God has redeemed me from the curse of sin. It no longer has a, it can't enslave me anymore. And then he's freed me from the fear of death because I know that I'm in heaven with him, and he's given us a commission to live out. Matthew 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Jesus, the last Adam, came and he reclaimed all authority. He's got the authority in heaven and on earth. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Our God, our Creator, holds all authority in his hands. I think it's very interesting how that somewhat kind of parallels Genesis 1:26. Or 28, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, subdue it, and having dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Well, once now we, that God said, I want you to focus here, God says, no, now I'm focusing you in another kingdom. It's about my kingdom. Be fruitful and multiply, he said in Genesis. And Matthew says, go therefore and make disciples. And subdue it of all nations. Have dominion. Baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 10, verse 17, when he sends the 70 out, he says, the 72 return with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Now watch this. I think this is so exciting. I probably got more excited over this message than what you have, because, and I've been thinking through this in my mind. And so what I'm seeing here is that now we as God's people, we've been transferred into another kingdom, the kingdom of God, where we have all spiritual authority. There is no demon that has power over you. There is no sin that can enslave you if you're a child of God. Jesus breaks all those bondages. He frees us from that. You say, well, I can't help myself. Well, no, you can't help yourself, but Jesus can. If I submit to the power of the Holy Spirit and I listen to the voice of God leading my life, I can live a life of victory. That alcohol doesn't have to have a stronghold on you anymore. That depression doesn't have to make you paralyzed where you cannot go out of your house. That bitterness doesn't have to make you so angry that you don't even like to be around people. Are you hearing me? We can walk in the power that God has given us because he has created us new. When he saved us, guess what he did? He made us a new creation. I told you that God's no longer creating on the earth, right? He's sustaining. He's not creating more trees. He's not saying, let there be trees. And trees are just sprouting up. Now, he did that way back then when he did the seed. Everything that we have on this earth now was our God gave at the very beginning. But what God's creating now is a new people. See, in Genesis 1, he created a people that would be sons and daughters that would have a royal rule with him in the garden. They rebelled and said, no, thank you. So God said, I'm going to prepare a people. In Genesis, he creates this wonderful place that we call the universe, an earth that we get to live on. He did all of the creative act of that place, and then he made the people. And he put them there. Now, the Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the cross and resurrection of the Lord, he is now creating a people, and then will bring the place. The Bible says this, the first man was from the earth, a man of dust. That's who? That's 1 Corinthians 15. Put that on there for him. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. Who's that? The second man is from, who's that? Jesus. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. Who's that? Us. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Okay, kinds. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, Adam, we shall also bear the image of the man of what? Heaven. Woo, that is so wild. Do you see what he's saying? You say, what did Adam look like? Well, he looked like us. Might not, he wasn't white, but probably. Might have been more olive or brown or whatever. I don't know. But he looked like us. We bear the image of the man of dust, so dust we shall return. And that was where we were headed until Jesus said, I'm going to redeem. I'm going to give life. He came from heaven to earth so that we could be made of a different kind, born again, made new, so that when we die, we're planted in the earth, when we're resurrected, it's new life. It's a new body. And what Jesus calls us to do is to follow him. Follow him. Jesus provides salvation. He provides the power of sanctification. That means growing more and more like Christ. As we water, as we read the word, as we obey the word, as we pray, as we worship, when we give, when we serve, when we live out the purposes of God, we get stronger and stronger, and we are more conformed into his image, the man of heaven, than the man of dust. I don't know about you, but I don't want to resemble the man of dust. I want to be more conformed to the man of heaven. I want to be more like Christ than Adam. What about you? So in 2023, you know what? I'm going to pursue God more than I ever have. I'm going to take the seed that he's given me, and I'm going to live my life for him. If nobody else is going to get that dedicated, it doesn't matter. I will. And so, church, this is the challenge for 2023. Will you follow Jesus with full out surrender? Let's pray. Lord, this morning, there are decisions that need to be made. There are some folks that maybe they've just been playing it safe for a while. Maybe they've just been kind of going through the motions. In 2023, they need to say, Lord, okay, it's time to get real. My faith needs to be before me. The cross needs to go ahead of me. And I'm going to follow you, and I will be the man or the woman that you've called me to be, regardless if anyone else doesn't. I will follow you. I will serve you. I will worship you. So Lord, give us that attitude. If there's someone here today that's never trusted in you, believed in you, Lord, today would they say, I will. I want to be born again. I want to know the Lord. Would they come? For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.